But as people saved by grace, we all have seemingly a problem in common, and that's that we forget things. I know today I'm forgetting. The older I get, the more forgetful I do. But I'm not talking about the kind of forgetful where you really can't remember somebody's name or something like that. But I'm talking about forgetting all the good things in the past that have occurred and happened in our life. All we can remember is the bad things that happened, how somebody hurt our feelings or somebody said something about us or somebody did something that truly offended us. And we can remember that, but we seem to forget some of the good things that we need to remember. We tend to forget the good things that the Lord's done for us. In my times of trials and maybe weariness and sometimes feeling overwhelmed, I'm reminded today that I can come to Jesus, as he sung this morning, and know that he'll meet every need that I have. What we need is to remember what the Lord has done in our life. I'm telling you today, if you're here, you've got a lot to be thankful for in your life just for God allowing you to be here and be in the service with us here today, especially those of us who are older, those who have physical problems and need. And sometimes we have a long memory. Maybe the short memory is not so good, but the long memory is about somebody hurt our feelings or times we were in sorrow or maybe difficulty and burdens we went through. Don't we have a tendency to remember all the bad things? But we fail to remember the good things. And I promise you, in my experience in life, the good things have always outweighed the bad things. And I can say today, all glory to God, I'm glad that I know him, and I'm glad that he meets my every need. And so I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of praising the Lord for what he's done and rejoicing in the blessings that the soul forgets. Look with me at verse 1 and 2 of chapter number 103. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." David had a problem, and what he was trying to do is describe in these first two verses, he's calling upon his soul to remember. When you're deep and down and discouraged, recall the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Remember, God is still alive, and God is still there to meet every need that we have if we'll trust him. And what David is doing in these two verses is he's trying to stir us up or to stir our soul up and get us excited about serving the Lord. You know, we get excited about so many things in the world, and again, not getting off on it. I love sports, enjoy watching football, and I enjoy watching the kids at camp. And people that go to camp can tell you that I used to be quite competitive. The older I get, I'm still a little competitive, but I can't run up and down the sideline as fast as I used to. And I get excited about football. But you know, we ought to be excited about what God's doing. And so what David is doing is he's writing this psalm to us, and it basically starts it all when he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And today we need to muster up some things in our life to where we praise the Lord for what he's done and what he's doing. The first thing that we notice that David says, he says that we should praise the Lord. The word "bless" that he used means to kneel with the idea of adoration and praise. To God be the glory, great things he has done. And I'm grateful today for all these years. I've been pastor now over 42 years, been in the ministry 45 years. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. God's been good to me. And when I bring my mind to think, I have no problem remembering the goodness of God to me throughout the years. David knows that God is worthy of his praise and that he'll render that praise. And even as the choir sang this morning, well, to thank the Lord for the blessings that he is to us and what he does. The second thing we notice, he calls upon the soul to ponder the Lord. In verse 2, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit." He challenges us not to forget what the Lord has done for us. In verses 3 through 5, and we're going to read that as we go, so I'll not read it now, but you're going to see some personal pronouns that are mentioned there, like thy, thee, and thine. What he's referring to is about, by the way, forgetting is far more than just failing to remember something. The word that is given to us, the idea of turning from God to follow other gods, if people do that, they get a lapse of spiritual memory. You know, sometimes it's easy. We talk in the Baptist circles about people backsliding. What is backsliding? Well, backsliding is when a person is saved by the grace of God. They're serving God. They're faithful to God. They're worshiping God. They're reading the Bible. They're praying. And all of a sudden, something happens. What happens? Something distracts them. Something gets their attention and moves them away from the very principle of what the Word of God is saying. And as a result, they no longer read their Bible. They no longer pray. Maybe they no longer go to church. And yet what David is saying to these people is, come back. Come to the point in your life to where you stirred up again and remember and forget not all the benefits of God. The first thing most people ask when they go to a job is, what are the benefits? Well, they want to know, first of all, what the pay is, I guess. But they say, what's the benefits? Could I tell you today that sometimes the benefits outweigh the salary even, because everybody needs insurance. Everybody needs good things that are given to us, days off, sick days, and the things that go along with it. And so it's important. Now, what's interesting in our text is the word benefits comes from the root word in the original language, the word camel. Benefits and camel, they don't seem to go good together. Well, let me explain a little bit reason why. I find it interesting. We find that it's interesting, the root word, because people living in the Middle East were very dependent upon camels. Today, when you leave, you won't be riding a camel, but you'll go out in the parking lot and get in your automobile and crank it up. But back in those days, they used camels. Now, I've never had a desire to ride a camel. I'm scared of heights. I'm afraid they'd throw me off because they're so tall. I've never had a desire to ride a camel, but I've heard and understood the blessings of a camel. A camel can carry people across the desert for long periods of time without food or water. They have storage tanks, by the way, and they can go across the desert. In fact, it's been called the camels was the ship of the desert. In other words, they carry the people and their burdens long distances. So I would think that camels and benefits goes together, wouldn't you? Because the benefits of God is what gets us through. I tell you today, day by day is a challenge. We see things and we're finding things that happen along the way. But a camel can survive for long periods of time with little food or water. And in Bible times, wealth of a man was guessed by how many camels he had. Like camels, the benefits of God is there to transport us through the dark times of life to get us to the place that we need to be. Sometimes the soul forgets the goodness of God. In fact, have you thought this morning about the goodness of God? It's a beautiful day outside. I know it's supposed to rain, but we need rain in order to wash the pollen away, if nothing else. But I'm sure the farmers could use the rain for the crops. Have you thought about the beautiful flowers you saw on the way to church today? Those are benefits and blessings of God every day. Hey, but the best of all was I was able to put my feet on the floor this morning and get up, get dressed, and come to the house of God in order that I might worship Him. So we need to stop when our problems start and remember the good things that God has done for us. Where was we when He found us? Now, some of us was in pretty bad shape when He found us, but thank God when He found us, He changed us, and we became new creatures in Christ. Now, not only was that a wonderful benefit that He gave to me when I got saved, but then there was the benefit of Him carrying me through now all these years that I've lived, the blessings of God in the past. I'm grateful for my family, for my wife, and for my friend, and for my church. I love this church. By the way, it's not my church, but it's God's church. But I'm grateful God put us together. And I want to recall the good things. I want to know where He brought me from, where I am today. And most of all, I'm trusting Him to lead me day by day in the direction that He would have me to go. We're living in a sad day. There's war that's happening all around us. And many people are having problems with their health. Seems like, I guess, because we're older, maybe the people we know the best are the same age as we are, and you hear about people being in the hospital and people dying. And I tell you, it's a hard thing to deal with, but I want to remind you today, no matter how much the church changes or how much people change, I serve a living God that'll never change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And sometimes we just forget what God has done in our life. The blessings that the soul forgets. God has a word for you this morning. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have benefits that you haven't even taken advantage of, I assure you. And I pray today that this message will motivate you to come back to the place of remembering what God's done. And if you're here today and you've never been saved, I tell you, now's a good day to sign up for benefits, because the first benefit is heaven. And I tell you today what a joy it is to know this morning that when we pass from this life to the next, we're going to heaven. Had the privilege yesterday of preaching that funeral. And I tell you, funerals is probably not my favorite thing. I hate it because they're sad. But when a person dies and goes to heaven, it's not as sad, because we have a lot to rejoice about and thank God in. Now, I've got to get to the message or I won't get through today, and I promise I'll move quickly. But look at verse 3. The first thing we notice, as a sinner, God forgives us. What a benefit. As a sinner, God forgives us. Look at verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I'm glad today that David used this word iniquity, because the word means bent or crookedness. It refers to the evil bent in nature that pulls us towards sin. And by the way, sin is rampant. And there's all kind of things in our day to draw our attention away from God and draw our attention to sin. But we must confess our sin. But thank God, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I tell you today, when I preach a message like this, it kind of makes me want to run over the platform a little bit and get excited, but just thinking about what God's done. Friend, I'm telling you, I'm standing here before you today because my sins have been forgiven. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been saved by the grace of God. And I tell you today, I praise Him for the benefits that He's bestowed upon me. He forgiveth not only our iniquities, but He forgiveth all our iniquities. There's nothing we've done that God will not forgive. I believe today when a person gets saved, they confess the sin in their life. And again, after a long period of time, it may be hard for you to recall everything that you've done, but you recall what you can, and then God will take care of the rest. But He'll forgive you of all your sin. The Bible said He'll scatter it as far as the east is from the west, never to remember against us anymore. Today I stand before you nothing more than just a sinner saved by grace. But I'm glad today that God saves us. You know how He saves us? He went to the cross of Calvary. He died on that cross. He took the nails in His hand. His side was pierced, and He literally died. He was buried. But praise God, He rose again from the grave. And today He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. I tell you today, that's a benefit you ought never forget. God's forgiven you. I do believe today, if we had time to take testimonies, and we don't, but if we did, many could stand up and said, oh, except by the grace of God, I would not be here today. And I tell you today, many people that are in sin today, except by the grace of God, we could be there if we forget the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did He cleanse me in the past, He continually cleanses me. He forgave all my sin when I got saved. And sometimes we get to the point of not understanding, but we must understand that just because our sins are forgiven at the start, and they are, doesn't mean that we'll never sin again. I hate to tell you this, but every one of us today, we still sin. I'm not talking about blatant sin, and I believe a person that's saved ought to do everything they can to avoid gross sins and sins. They ought to do everything they can to avoid all sin. But the Bible said, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so weekly, daily, a couple of times a day, we need to pray and say, Lord, forgive me. When you do something, just stop and say, Lord, forgive me. And the Lord will forgive you. When you sin, the devil is out. He's the accuser of the brethren. He goes before the Lord, and he tries to persuade the Lord how bad we are. But we have someone living inside of us if we're saved, and he's called the Advocate. He's called the Holy Spirit of God. And when the accuser comes, the Advocate says, get out of here. They belong to me. And their sins have been put under the blood of Jesus Christ, never to remember them against Him anymore. I like that song, What Sins Are You Talking About? I tell you today, all of us could stand and talk about the sins we committed in our life, and that would not do anything to exalt the Lord, so we won't do that. But I can tell you, we talk about all the sins, but I'm going to tell you, when God forgives them, they're gone. My sin, the kids sing a song, they're G-O-N-E, gone. As a sinner, He forgives me. You know what that makes me want to say? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Quickly, notice the latter part of that next verse. In verse number 3, He said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, but who healeth all thy diseases. Now, these bodies wear out. You know that. We often become afflicted. Sickness often comes our way, and disease even creeps in. But I don't believe right here that this verse is talking about those kind of diseases. I believe it's talking about the diseases of sin in our life and things that we do. I do believe that God does heal people that are sick according to his will. But this tells us here, it says, he said, who healeth all thy diseases. So if he was talking about health problems, then he would be healing everybody. And it's not always God's will to heal, and we don't understand that, but we must try to comprehend that and understand what he's saying. Our souls are subject to terrible things happening in our life. Among them, I want to name a few. Lust, hate, greed, jealousy, discouragement, depression, anger, fear, guilt, doubt. All of us have experienced these things at some time in our life. But here's the good news. God heals us from all of that when we come to Jesus. There, that song was good for today. But truly today, when we come to Jesus, He heals our diseases. He can take away that lustful thought that you're having. He can take away the anger. He can take away the bitterness. He can take away the hatred. In fact, the Bible said if you're saved, you can't hate nobody. He said if you say you're saved and you hate your brother, he said you're not part of him and you're a liar even. So we cannot hate. How does we get over that? We have God that helps us, and he helps us get through it, and he releases us, and he heals us of all those diseases. Thank God he has remedy for the diseases of the soul. Many times these things come in our life. When I think of help and healing, I tell you what I've received. I just here's what I want to say. I just want to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless thy holy name. Because today I could not preach the Word of God had it not been for God forgiving me of my sin. I could not stand here and preach to you today had it not been for the fact that God healeth me of all these diseases I just talked about. Lust, hate, greed, jealousy, discouragement, depression, and all of us go through those from time to time. But Jesus, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only he can take a man and make him whole. I'm thankful today for the remedy that we have in God and what he's done. How soul can ever feel the tender touch of the great physician. You know, God is the great physician, by the way. Many of you, as I do, we have doctor's appointments this week, and we'll go see the physician. But this morning, I came to see the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he may choose to allow things to happen in our life. It may be something that he don't heal us of. But I know one thing, if we're saved, when we die, we're going to be healed immediately because we're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all those things the devil works into our brain and into our lives and into our hearts, God's able to take care of them if we'll trust him. Number three, as a slave, he redeems us. Look at verse 4. He said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? You see today, every soul that enters into this world is born a slave to sin. When we're born, I mentioned yesterday at the funeral, the Bible said that we're condemned already. He that believeth on Jesus is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he's not believed in the only begotten Son of God. And so we don't have to do anything to be condemned. We're born sinners. Every soul has a carnal conclusion. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad today that gift will change your life. It'll do for you which nothing else can do. I'm glad today that one day God looked down and he saw the plight of lost souls. He saw our sinful way. He looked at us and he knew that we needed a Savior. And he was willing to give his life on the cross to redeem us and take us out of slavery. And put us into being not only a slave of sin, but becoming a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Serving him and being faithful to him. You see, he wasn't merely content to see it. He did something about it. He came into this world and he redeemed us. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I tell you today, if probably don't happen often, but it has happened in occasion. Somebody would owe a debt, and they'd go to pay the debt. This has happened at restaurants. People do this, and I think it's a good practice. See somebody at the restaurant you know, and if God just touches your heart, say, I'll just pay for their meal. That's a wonderful thing. And I'm grateful that God allows us sometimes to feel moved to pay for somebody's meal. And what a blessing it is when the waitress goes over and says, paid in full. You don't have to worry about it. Friend, I tell you, that may give them a good feeling, but if I'm the one that did it, it'll give me a good feeling too, because I can see somebody that's been redeemed. The redemption enjoyed by the children of God will never falter or fail, and all the saints will arrive at home in glory. When I think of the fact that I was once a slave to sin, but now I'm free from sin's bondage, I'm free from sin's curse, I'm free from sin's penalty. I tell you, as a slave, he redeemed me, and no longer am I a slave to the sin of the world. One day, I did what the world did. I acted like the world acted. I partook of the sin that the world had to offer. But when I came to Jesus, he changed my life, and I became a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful today for the time that he's given me the opportunity to serve him. And you know what it makes me want to say? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You see, every one of us would have squandered this life. Man, have you ever thought back where you would have been if you hadn't got straight? I tell you, I remember my life. I got away so far from God, and I was so miserable. Talking about depression and discouragement, I was experiencing it. But I remembered. I remembered the goodness of the Lord. I remembered going to Sunday school as a little boy. I remember my Sunday school teachers that taught me in Sunday school. I remember the Word of God they gave me. And I tell you, when I remembered it, it brought me back. And I tell you today, oftentimes it scares me to think where I might have ended up had I not come back to the Lord Jesus Christ to serve Him. I might not even be alive today. And believe me, I really believe that that could have been a great possibility because I was ignoring God and not serving Him. The songwriter put it this way, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood, and He made a difference in my life. Oh, today, how could my soul forget such a blessing? I tell you today, honestly, I got excited about preaching this message because while I was getting it ready, I was getting excited when I realized all the things God has done for me. I tell you today, I don't deserve any of it, but I tell you, these years that I've been serving Him for 45 years have been the best years of my life. I have met some of the best people in the world, and I've been able to fellowship with the Christians that also have believed in Him and put their faith and trust in Him. But I want to go a little further. Look at verse 4 again, the latter part. First part, he said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. And then the last part, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The psalm said the king is passing down the road, and as he comes by, he's going to pass to you and I his power and his glory. That's exactly what he's talking about. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving kindness corresponds with the Greek word in the New Testament called grace. Had it not been for the grace of God, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, tender mercy carries with it the idea of compassion and a caring love. I remember the song that Charles Weigel wrote. He said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And I must say today that in all my life, I know that I've had many friends, and I know I've had many that love me, but there's never been one that has loved me like the Lord Jesus Christ. Given me the things His need. His grace is matchless. Nobody can match it. His grace is marvelous. I think today His tender mercies are glorious, and they're even beyond what a vocabulary could explain. This brings to mind the tender touch of a mother. Growing up, or not growing up, I was grown up when I was married, but as my wife and I were raising our children, that's where I'm trying to go. My kids, we had a good relationship. They loved me, and we did a lot of things together. But for some funny reason, when they got sick, guess who they wanted? they wanted mother. And again, you know, we stop and think about that. And why do they want a mother? Because there's something about that mother that births those children. Just her voice. Just her touch is the reassurance to them that everything's going to be all right. And friend, what we see today is a tender touch from the Lord. What we see is everything's going to be all right. When a human touches and words are given, sometimes they just don't hit the spot. They don't do anything for us. And it's not to be saying that people shouldn't try to encourage one another. In the midst of times, words and things just may not be ineffective. But the touch of God will take care of all the problems, the needs that we have in our life. I'm great today. I've never been beyond the tender touch of my Father. Just to feel His hand when He reaches down and touches my heart, I can describe the sure knowledge that He, with His rod and staff, with His ever-present lead to feed, to guide, will give me hope for the journey along the way. I'm so thankful today that God has crowned me with His loving kindness and His tender mercies. He gives tender mercies. But listen, He doesn't just give kindness. He gives loving kindness. I mean, it's even greater. You see, God always operates in the superlative. In creation, in the superlative, Genesis 1:20, let the waters bring forth abundantly. In victory, He operates in superlatives. In Exodus chapter 15, 1, He hath triumphed gloriously. In salvation, He operates with superlatives. Hebrews 7:25, He is able to save even to the uttermost those who will put their trust in Him. God moves in the realm of overabundance. The Bible talks about God supplying our need, and He'll give us grace abundantly. He'll give us more than we need. And could I might add, if you're a child of God, He'll never give you less than you need as long as you're walking with Him and trusting Him to meet your need. What He gives you is more than enough. Somebody says, you know, Jesus is all we need. And I believe that. Jesus basically is all our need. But we sure need His loving kindness. We need His tender touch. We need to know all there is about Him when He moves in your life. When He moves in your life, He'll always not be enough. Yeah, Jesus is enough, we say, but when you get Him, you're going to find He's more than enough. And I tell you today, He's more than we could ever think of or imagine. How can our soul forget the crown of righteousness, loving kindness, and tender mercies? Boy, when I think of the grace and goodness of God toward me, you know what I think? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And then lastly, as a saint, He satisfies me. Verse number 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfied thy mouth with good things. As our gracious Heavenly Father, He gives those that belong to Him good things of life. He doesn't always give us what we want, but He always gives us what is best. Friend, you can trust God. I know sometimes you say, preach, you don't know what happened to me. No, but I know what's happened to me. But I can still say with Romans 8:28, I know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I want you to know today that Jesus has satisfied my soul. I'm thankful today to be able to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that every step I take, my Savior goes before me. And when I reach the difficult times of life, I have to find that Jesus is there. Somebody said, well, I went through a hard time, but I didn't sense His presence. Well, it might be because you need to go read over in Luke, I believe it is chapter 15, where it said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. You see, today as a child of God, we're saved, and there's nothing can change that. We can't lose our salvation. If we've been born again, God gave us eternal life. But I tell you what, He's sometimes not able to work in our life because our heart and our soul has turned away from the good things of God and what He's done. When the psalmist mentions the renewal of the eagle, notice what he said. He talks about that. He said, who satisfied thy mouth with good things so that the youth is renewed like the eagle. I heard this somewhere. I don't know if it's scientifically true, but I heard somebody talk about it. It sounds good and it sounds reasonable. But I've heard at some point in the life that an eagle, that they begin to get calcium on their beak and on their talons. And as a result, they're not able to hunt as they once were. Not only that, but the older they get, they begin to lose their feathers. And when they fly to the air trying to capture something to eat, it makes a whistling sound, and there's no way they can silently slip up on some prey and get that prey. And so eventually, the eagle, being in such a condition that he is, he will find a place in the crevice of the rock. He'll go to a mountain, and he'll crawl up in the rock and understand that during that time, he will scrape his beak against the rock, his edges, and he'll chisel away at the calcium that'll be upon his beak. He'll rub his talons to the nub that they there, as far down as he can get them. He rubs them down. And then he begins to pluck out every feather in his body. At that time, he's the most vulnerable to any animal that may come his way. He's in a bad situation. However, in time, the story's told that in time, this eagle begins to grow feathers again. His talons and his beak come back just as sharp as they ever were. If he survives, they said many don't survive, but if he survives, everything comes back, and he comes back with vigor and strength, and he flies away from the rock back to victory once again. I don't know about you, but I feel sometimes I'm kind of like the eagle, and I've got to be renewed. But you know what the key to that was? He went to the rock. And I tell you, our rock is Jesus. Amen. I tell you, I'm standing on the solid rock. And I tell you, even though this happens only one time in an eagle's life, it may happen to us time and time again. But just go to the rock. Just go to the rock and get yourself sharpened and empowered. And once again, you'll fly and you'll soar with the eagles as you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist could be referred to the truth that he was talking about him restoring his vigor and strength throughout the entirety of his life. Do you remember what the promise was to God's children, the children of Israel? They wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Deuteronomy 33:25, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know why? Because God gives the strength we need. When I think about how he has repeatedly lifted me from the ragged rocks of defeat and discouragement and pain, he's restored me. Once again, I get tired sometimes. Sometimes I get weary. But I tell you, I can come to church, and when I'm preaching to you, listen, especially today, this message, if you don't get nothing out of it, that's all right. I'm getting out of it because it's reminding me of what God's done for me. But you know what it makes me want to say? I know you've heard it, but I'm going to say it one more time. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Have you become so caught up with the burdens and problems of this life that you forgot about the benefits that God gave to us? Jesus Christ died to give us life and to give it more abundantly. Have you allowed others and their actions to turn your heart away from the Lord? Oh, today there's people who say, well, I would come to church, but so and so, I know they claim to be a Christian. Friend, that don't have nothing to do with your relationship with God. And I tell you, they may claim to be a Christian, but I know that I am a Christian. And I tell you what, people that claim to be a Christian may not always live like a Christian. But I tell you, that ought not stop us from continuing to act like a Christian and do what we needed to do. I wonder how many of us today are really in the place where the soul is blessing our Lord. Some of you may have got tired of me hearing me say that over and over again this morning. I hope not. But the fact of it is, you ought to be rejoicing and praising God for what he's done. If the Lord and his presence aren't as real as you as they used to be, you know what you need to do? You need to get the help and restoration you need by coming to Jesus. Thank you, Cal, for the song. Come to Jesus. Friend, today he stands ready to give you a full benefit package that includes 5 things, and there's a whole lot more, but that's all I got time for. But God is so good.